We're live.
And I said, are you ready? And I said, yeah.
Dude, you're fired up today. I know that you can do better than that.
All right. All right. Is everybody? Wait, no. Hold on. Let me get. Okay. Are you not entertained? No, you're not yet because we got to do something.
But no, we haven't done nothing.
Yeah. I've done nothing, but I'm entertained because I'm having a great day. Clark, how are you doing today?
So I'm good, man. I got my afternoon coffee, ready to do this, announce the winner of the content giveaway from the early bird special of the course in December. So that'll be fun. I just did the podcast live roundtable with Adam Posner. So check him out. That was a lot of fun.
I know that guy.
Yeah, I think you know him a little bit. So appreciate you for connecting us. And we had an awesome alumni call yesterday that it was the first ever Digital Recruiter alumni call. It was free for all past members and current members. And I was like, we got to hit him good with a good first guest. So we had Adam on. And he's got, what, almost 40,000 followers. You guys have been running the podcast for a few years. He's been recruiting. He worked for Gary Vee. So he just knows recruiting, the content game, the podcast game. So it was super, super cool to hear him break down the process, right, that you guys kind of built out together for producing the podcast, you know, how to interview guests, all that good stuff.
He reminds me of my mother in the grocery store. Like, we'll go into places, and he just knows everybody. Like, we'll go, like, I swear, they'll be like, hey. Like, my mother in the grocery store knows everybody.
Yeah.
First time, doesn't matter.
It's got that feel. And so you kind of, you know, you talked about leading into your strengths and how to use it. He didn't even realize it was a business development tool until 20 episodes in, where he got some recs from me, you know, a client and everything else, you know, from a CMO. And it was just cool to kind of just have him pass that knowledge on and kind of that digital recruiter mindset, right? Of building the rapport, the network, because you don't know if they're a great client, right? Until you talk to them and kind of filter it out. But like, how do you do that at volume? How do you do that at scale? And it's just such a cool way and a different medium, right? Than the text post and the written one, which we're going to dive into today, which I'm excited about. So it's been an action-packed week. I've been recording more podcasts this week. I got some really cool guests lined up for that. It's fun, man.
One highlight, like for real, for everybody out there, like alpha for you in the first 3 minutes. Holy heck, how the podcast is a business development tool. Like, of course, right? That makes total sense. But when you're like coming up with your idea and you're so focused on this subject and what you want to talk about, and you forget that people love talking about themselves and how you get to get that like, know, and trust in an instant, especially if there's a connection with you two, and then what could happen from there? Oh my gosh. So
I gotta start off with something.
Let's go, because I was going to start off something too. So please, you go first.
All right. Well, Kevin's running the show today. He's running the point. Okay. But
we're going to start the show. Go ahead.
Okay. But can I show you one thing?
Please.
Not every post is a winner. And not every post is a winner. When I thought it was hilarious, and I even showed it to you and I thought we were going to be funny. Well, my Guy Fieri post is flubbing. We're flubbing. Well, I'm leaving it up. I don't care. This post is for me.
But is that a result of you or Mr. Flavortown? See?
No one, everyone's just scared to like it. No one wants to admit that they're Guy Fieri fans for the ridiculousness. He is America in so many ways for his just outrageousness. But come on, I've been getting bombarded with these Flavortown ads, and I got no choice but to go. They got a great, look at Greta Van Fleet going, Kane Brown. Like, it's a great, Brett Michaels is going to be performing there. Like, I'm getting some tickets. So, anyone want to go to Flavortown with me in June, first or second, you know where to be. It's in my hometown. I'll show you around. I'll entertain you.
And drives. I mean, come on, man.
Like, what are we doing here?
Me and my wife, that's a staple for us. Okay.
The recruiting market was not ready for my Flavortown at 1:15 on a Thursday. Okay. That's all right. The show goes on. You got it.
So here's what we're going to do, guys. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to, actually I'm not going to do that. Let's just skip. Let's just go to the good stuff. Let's go to the good stuff, guys. Today we are going to talk content that sells. And more importantly, we're going to show you and talk about kind of the things to think about before you're posting, what a good post structure looks like. And then we're going to sit here with you and hopefully get some ideas. And then we're just going to write a post in front of y'all. So hopefully this will be the content that you are looking for.
Who we got in the comments? Who we got here? We've got Jessica. What's Purpose Marketing Mama? I like that title.
I do. So yeah, I have the I'm trying to present here, but for some reason it's not coming on screen.
I got to do it for you.
That's there we go. I got you. Okay. All right, y'all. So here's what we're going to talk about today. The problem that we're going to highlight, we're going to stick on this one thing today, is most people writing on LinkedIn don't know what to think about before they write, where to start, or how to structure their posts. Go ahead. Sorry, you already got something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying hi to Bradley. He's my buddy. So
what's up, Bradley?
Bradley's the man. Most people don't know what to think before they write. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, where do I start? Where do I start? And you're probably going to get into this. How do I not look like an idiot that posts Guy Fieri memes and no one likes it on LinkedIn?
Because that's a great point, right? Who are you even talking to? Did you have an idea of who this post was for?
Clark? That was for me. That one was for me. And guess what? It didn't work. Exhibit A. I took one for the team.
And that's just an experiment that we do with many things, right? So, hey, there you go. This is a great example of exactly what we're going to be talking about, y'all. So the problem, and I know a lot of us have this problem. I was here once, right? So how do we start to solve this? It starts with questions, okay? So here's what we're going to go over today, right? You want to have a thinking process before you even start writing, because you have to know who you're writing to. And you have to know why. You have to know what final transformation they want to make. Because like Clark said, if you're writing for yourself, then it's possible that it'll go flat because you're not speaking to anybody. It's only things that you want to talk about, right? So this is the questions that you would ask yourself so that you ensure that when, you know, if you have a business that you're trying to sell and create content that sells online, you got to speak to them so they'll pay attention and notice and want to read it, right? So number one, before you even begin, what is the final transformation that you want your reader to achieve? Clark, why is that important?
Well, you got to reverse engineer.
That's right.
Like, what are you getting out of this? What is the business goal? I think so many people just hear, oh, I got to post this because I got to post. That's what people are doing now, right? It's like, well, do you want to add to noise or do you want to create a different pathway, right? And so that's
a great point. There is so much noise. 10 years ago, when I used to create content, it was like it had to be the right time. Like it just had to be the right time. And now the style is the time is now. Yeah. Right? Everybody's writing 4 or 5 posts a day on LinkedIn.
You know what it feels like? You know the movie 300? I watched that like third row IMAX, not knowing what I was going to get myself into back in 2007. And it was just like, all right, a lot of soldiers like, all right, this is a lot going on. But you know the arrow scene, Persian army shoots all the arrows in the air, and it's just like, oh, what is going on? You got to put your shield up, right?
Yes.
It's just like that's what you're doing from all the emails, all the content, all the everything. Right, that's what we're doing. But that's also what your hiring managers, your market, that's what's happening to them too, right? So it's just have that understanding.
That's right. That was a great analogy, just everybody. I just want to highlight that. Okay. So
I appreciate you.
But to Clark's point, to the second question, when you know what the final transformation is that you want them to achieve, what can you do? You can reverse engineer the process. So what are the steps required to achieve this transformation, right? So now you have an idea what you want to write and what you want them and how you want them to transform. You can literally just map it out for them and you can make them understand, right? Because when you talk about the final transformation, you're usually going to talk about it abstractly, right? It's going to be this concept. Those steps are what make it concrete and what's allowed them to visualize that they'll be able to actually do this, right? And what that does is it goes to question three. How can we move them through each step on the way to their transformation? Did you want to say something?
Let me put it in the agency recruiter perspective.
Let's go.
That's what we do. That's who we work with. So to what Kevin's getting at, how do we apply this to, say, hiring managers, right? Recruiting agencies, they're a dime a dozen in most managers' eyes, right? So you got to deal with that. It's the low barrier to entry to become a recruiter, agency recruiter, but a high bar to success and competency, right? So your path is, how do I show my target market that we are different, that we stand out, right? You can't just tell them that, oh, we care more than people. We qualify harder. We screen harder. They heard that a million times, right? That doesn't stick. It doesn't resonate. So you got to reverse engineer the, how am I going to stand out? Number one is what you're trying to get to. And then what are the things they're already hearing that they just in one ear, out the other, that's immediate turnoffs, right? And so what, and then I'm thinking, what does that allow? Like, what are they looking to hear? We always talk about, give them a different experience. What are they not expecting to hear? What do they not know? What, you know, how can you change the belief about what an agency recruiter even is or is capable of, yeah, right? Like, that's how you want to start thinking, right? And that's the consultative, like how you handle maybe counter offers or how you look at, you know, our best practices, 3 or 4 interviews, or yep, I review all the initial candidates that we're screening on a Zoom call 3 days after the kickoff call, right? Like those different things that they're not used to, like that's those things that you have to stand out. That's the level you got to be thinking about these things.
And one of the biggest ones, right, is like, what offers do they see on a daily basis? Because they're getting offers in their email, in their messages, on LinkedIn, right? And what do those offers look like? What do recruiters usually talk about? They talk about their wins. They talk about their processes, right? It's a lot about me, me, me. And so, you know, so let's go to hiring managers, or let's go to a recruiter talking to a hiring manager. The final transformation you want them to achieve, right, is that you want them to understand that you are the solution. You are the only solution for the problem that they have, right? But the steps to get there aren't necessarily a hard sale. It's a like, know, and trust, right? It's a process to get there. And that's why, you know, again, understanding what offers they get, you know, what is it that they're looking to achieve out of this? Who have they worked with in the past that maybe didn't work out? As you start to think about this, you can start to really think about, like, you know, what are they seeing? What are they doing when they see these offers? How do they feel about them? Right. And then attack it from a different angle. Go ahead, look.
Because you're spot on. I'm just going to keep applying these concepts that are, you know, it's hard to have time to learn these concepts, right? If you're in agency world, it's go, go, go. But think about the know, like, trust. For those of you that have been at this for a while that have some great clients that get a lot of referrals, right? Like, the know, like, trust process is applied to traditional sales as well. Yeah. Think about your best clients. Like, they know, like, and trust you. But the traditional way, right, the calls, the emails, the meetings, the lunches, it takes how long? Like, a year, 2, 3 years, yeah, to really build that. The beautiful part about content, you could build that in 2 to 3 months with some people that used to take 3 years, right? So you're applying the same concepts that work, quote unquote, offline, online. And with the reach that you could have, the targeted, like, that's the power of building the rapport. You can do it without just beating down their doors. And it's not just one-to-one, right? You to one hiring manager, it could be you to 100 people, you to 500 people. It's also why, like, right, the final transformation, you don't need to go after every hiring manager. What's the transformation of 50 hiring managers, yes, that you want to have, right? So I want to just continue to add context there because it's so applicable. It's really taking what works, quote unquote, offline and putting that offline. And that's, you get those concepts, it's...
Great point. You just said something, okay? We do this backwards, and our concept of what I'm going to tell you is wrong. We like to say this thing that content is king. That is not true. Context is king, because context is what allows you to paint the picture that somebody else will understand. You could put out a million pieces of content all day on LinkedIn and you will never get the like, know, and trust if you don't provide the context of who you are and how you do who you are for them to understand how you're different than, again, right? What's the fourth question? What's the biggest problem preventing them from achieving this transformation? They've worked with so many bad people in the past. They work with agencies that did them a disservice in the past, and now they don't trust agencies, right? Right. How many people do we know like that?
I mean, it goes to how many replies people get in the inbox. It's like, oh, we're set on hiring. And then you look at their jobs page, they have 150 job openings, and half of them have been open longer than 4 weeks. You're all set on hiring? Are you sure about that? Like, does HR know that you're all set on hiring? If they are HR, does HR, like, what are they doing? Right. And so, right, we have to, you just have to think that. You have to, context is you know, it's key. Yeah, Luke, appreciate you. Good to see you again, Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Spot on with the context. Yeah, Kevin made an incredible point. It is context. So you have to oversimplify in your content, but you can't overwrite. And you can't talk about multiple things in one post. So that's the balance. And that's why this takes work and testing and trial and error.
That's right. And that's a great segue. That's a great segue. Because this is probably, like anybody who's got their pen and pads out, probably one of the best parts of this show today is what we're about to do right here. Because we're going to show it to you. Okay. And then we're going to break it down. And then we're going to show you how to do it. So what does that look like? It looks like this. There's a structure that goes to posts, okay? And once you apply this over and over, it doesn't even take long before it just makes sense. And before you even know it, when you start to get down to write, you just structure them this way automatically, right? But there is a structure. Did you want
to? I have to. So within this, as you're explaining this, I think Bradley had a great comment that we can start thinking about for the post, I think, and we can come up with some other ideas. I have an account that I'm targeting that has no recruitment agencies in their job postings, right? And I think that's actually a really good content topic potentially to kind of cover and all that. How would you write a post potentially with this in mind, with the structure, you know, the headline, all that? So we could potentially use as we talk about the structure and the headline.
I like that. Okay. So let's cover the structure of a post. If we've been on LinkedIn long enough, we've heard this, right? The hook, the headline. There's got to be something that intrigues somebody to want to read your post. Okay. Yeah. The reality is there is so much noise out there, as we've already talked about, right? Think about it, guys. Who has Netflix, Disney, Hulu, Prime, CBS, right? They're so right. Okay. And you're watching them.
I feel attacked.
Okay. And you got Audible you're listening to, and you're on LinkedIn, and you're on Twitter, right? There is so much noise, and people have ample opportunity to go to where they want that entertains them, that understands them, that speaks to them. So you have to speak to whoever you want to talk to, and you have to intrigue them. You got 3 to 5 seconds, right? That's the hook. So what are you going to say on the top line? Which we know on LinkedIn, right? It's the top line. You get usually one, possibly three sentences to say something that's going to intrigue the person that you want a transformation. Okay. This is absolutely the most important part of the copy, because the goal of what you're doing is you want to get people, and think about this. You want to get people to read the top line, and all your job is on the top line is to get them to read the next line. Your only job in that line is to get them to read the next line. Your only job on that line is, do you see? And so if you go to that detail, you're always going to be concise and condensing to make sure that you're just getting the most valuable information there. Go ahead, Clark.
That's it. Just get them to click see more on the post, right? Like scroll through your own feed and see what you're going through that makes you want to click see more. And start studying that too. You can study this stuff on just your current feed, right? Like just pay attention to what's already on there, what resonates with you, what doesn't, right? And that's how you can kind of start to learn this and apply this in real time without even posting, but just start like kind of studying and just take a step back and just start thinking through, right? And that's how you start to like learn these things and you can see it. The other piece I'd add is the headline. Yeah, sometimes you could spend 50 to 70% of your time is writing the headline. And the other thing where I know we'll get into is
we're about to do it right now, Clark. Don't say it. All right. We're going to. All right, Clark. I'm gonna cue up Clark for what he's about to say. Now, what Clark is about to say is, when you don't know what your hook is, don't you dare sit there and just wait. Just write, okay? Just write. Because let me tell you, 8 times out of 10, I do not nail the hook immediately. And that's because what Clark's about to tell you where the hook normally is. And I'm going to scroll down. Go ahead. Let him know.
Oh, there you go. It's right in the middle of the post.
It's in the middle. Amen. That's right. Amen. So often, when we write, you know, we don't get to the meat and potatoes of the reason why you're listening to it until we get to the middle. But it's that meat and potatoes, which is the whole reason why they're even going to listen to anything else you have to say.
You
go ahead. No, please go ahead.
But you know, so I just thought of this. It's in the middle typically when I start writing a post, But when I'm in conversation, it's that phrase that makes you stop and you're like, oh, that's a good phrase. That's a headline too, typically.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true.
When you say something, right? When we go back and forth and we say something, we're just like, context is king. Like, ooh, that's a good headline, right? Or like, not content is not king. Here's what is, right? Finger pointing emoji. Oh, I got to see what is king actually. Oh. And then you say, context is king. It's like, boom, that's how you get it, right? And like you said it out loud. You said that's why Luke commented, because it's like it resonated with all of us.
Yes.
It's like, that's a headline, right? So you want to pay attention to that feeling.
Exactly. And so to that point, right, I always, you know, anybody that we're instructing, anybody that we're teaching, we always say, you know, write your post, wait 30 seconds, step back, and then read it the whole way through, and then find the line that is that, like, just like Clark said, what's that line that grabs your attention? If it grabs your attention, it's pretty guaranteed it's going to grab everybody else's attention, because we're not that different, right? Yeah. So how do you grab people's attention? It's a great question, Kevin. Here's how you do it. Intriguing start, right? Now, you can do this in many ways, right? This is just an idea for you. Begin with a statement or a question that directly addresses a common challenge or a curiosity of hiring managers. What's a common curiosity of hiring managers, Clark?
Ooh. Curiosity.
Can you fill my role in 2 weeks or less?
Is it curiosity to asking an agency recruiter, or just how they are in general with hiring?
Right. Well, how are you gonna get a hiring manager curious? What's a common challenge?
Let's talk about Bradley right here. So
there we go. Let's do it.
Let's bring this up, right? So it's a great comment. No recruitment agencies. Well, now why do we think that happened? It's the CFO looked at their spend last year. It was like, absolutely not. No more agencies next year. Right. It's they worked with a terrible one or a terrible few, and they haven't found the right partner. Right. So it's not an indictment on you, but stuff happened. And so, you know, there's a mountain to climb here. Right. And you're probably not going to go, you know, get them directly. Right. Like if you ask someone on a date, they say no. If you ask them 20 times in the next 2 days, it's probably still going to be a no. You might not be able to solve this like directly, but indirectly with content. Right, Bradley, connecting with all those people at that company, right? All those managers, HR, the hiring managers, connect with all them and write some great posts about this piece. So the curiosity, right,
You said it. What? Dude, you said the hook. Oh. I'll bet your CFO looked at last year's byline and thought, no more recruitment agencies.
Yeah.
I could totally understand why you feel that way.
But now, what does that mean for you? So now you're in full responsibility of the hiring, but you don't have the right tools or the right access. So you get 1,000 applicants. You don't know what to do with all that. You don't have the support. You have to do a million other things. So is the no recruitment agencies actually solving the problem? Or should it say no bad recruitment agencies? Because that's what they're really saying.
So there's another hook. Is it no recruitment agencies? Or are you really saying no bad recruitment agencies? Here's been the problem. Right? That's another hook.
Yeah. So you're adding, what is the word? You're adding context.
Oh.
Context in the post.
But here's what we're doing, really, dude.
We're going to have, by the way, we're going to have like 10 people with that line.
That's okay.
That headline in the next 2 days. And I'm here for it.
So hey, and if you do, you better tag.
Tag us.
So we can like and comment on it. Okay. Yeah. But what I was going to say and what we're doing, y'all, I want to break this down because this is the part that you need to get. It's the emotions of it. Okay. That's an emotional, reason, right? No recruitment agencies. That's emotions. They feel that from an emotional level. He sees the numbers. That creates an emotion in him. So you have to meet him at his emotion. The reason why that hook was so good and Daniel down here likes it is because I validated that I know exactly what you're dealing with. I see what you see. I feel what you feel. And when you feel it, I know exactly what you're doing. You're like, F these agencies. I don't want to work with them. Hey, I got you. And I totally understand.
You get it.
I get you. I totally understand. And here's why we're not anything like that.
Yeah, I hate them too.
I hate them too. That's right. Validate them.
be there, you know, figure out a way to link arms. The reason why we love doing this with content, why content is so much better for this. Imagine, is it better to say that to them to their face or in an email or in a message?
Right.
Or is it better for them to read it on the feed where you're not throwing the information at them personally, but they're reading it almost as a byproduct. You put yourself out there with it. What's more impactful? What are they going to resonate more? Right? Because if you just say, oh, you just worked with bad ones. Well, it's like, yeah, that's what they all said. They all said they were the good ones and they weren't. Right. But in content, you can see that and then break it down. We had a client who had the same thought process, right? I'm probably skipping steps.
No. You know, it's like relatable, you know, scenario.
Relatable scenario. I'm right there. This is ingrained in me. Dude, you do a good job writing it all down. This is why we work. This is why we work well. And so the relatable scenario, I've been there. Our best client is about you. Our happiest client, because that's about them, is had the same thought process, but they said enough is enough. All right, when they realize that they just worked with bad agencies. So it's how do you vet a good agency? And then you're raising the bar.
And that, right? that of in itself is social proof. That validation, that relatability, by you telling them that I have seen what you see and feel what you feel, that's bottom of the funnel stuff. That's where they're like, oh, okay. Like again, like, know, trust, convert trust to money. That's how it happens.
So we only got a few minutes on this one. We got to keep this thing going, right? Like we kind of keep going through this as a series and everything else.
Let's do this real quick.
Yeah.
There's one important piece that we can leave them with.
Yeah.
Actionable advice, y'all. Y'all always know I like to leave y'all with actionable advice. So here's what I'm going to recommend to everybody. So here's the short of it. Before you write, here are the two questions you should have top of mind. Before you start, who's this for, right? You got to know who you're writing for and what transformation do you want them to achieve? Start with those two, okay? If you have questions, DM us. We will absolutely help you along the way. And for anybody that's still listening, okay, we're gonna give a little giveaway here.
Yeah, we're not gonna put this in the comments. It's only if they made it.
No, way. We're not putting this in the comments. I'm just gonna say it once and then it is what it is. Whoever gets it, whoever doesn't. We're gonna give away one of our course modules, which is on the post structure. And it's gonna break this down into actionable advice. Okay. And if you would like that, I would ask you to please email admin at digitalrecruiter.io. And in the subject line, please put free module. And I will send you that module. And again, if you have questions about it, I'm down to help you out with it a little bit because you came here, you sat and chatted with us, and I appreciate you for that. I know we only have a couple minutes, but I did want to mention that. Clark, was there any lasting thoughts?
I got to do the giveaway.
Oh, yes.
Do the giveaway. So this is the people that bought the course in December for the early bird special, the content course. They get a free month. They get a content interview with me and Kevin. We're going to write posts for them for a month of content, all this other stuff. So it's really cool. We're going to do stuff like this more during the year and during lives and all that stuff. So make sure to keep shooting.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have an awesome giveaway coming up soon. Can't wait to talk about it. Drum roll, please.
All right. No one can read my handwriting, but Brittany LeBlanc.
Brittany LeBlanc, come on down. You are the winner.
I'll clip this. I'll let her know.
What did Brittany win?
Oh, content interview, content done for you for a month. So all the stuff we just talked about, we're going to interview, we're going to get the questions, we're going to know your target market, we're going to get to know you, ask all those questions, bring all that stuff out, and we're going to write some posts for you to get you jump-started.
Wait, you're going to get video content and text content?
We're just going to do text. You want to do a couple of video?
I mean,
we could.
We got to really give.
Yeah,
gotta,
let's do some video
Brittany
for
up.
It.
We got to hook Brittany up.
We'll see if she agrees to it. But
that's true. Yeah.
We'll make her look good. Dude, this is awesome. Stay tuned. We're going to keep doing these twice a week, you know, sales content, but we're going to make this a series. We're going to keep breaking down these concepts and appreciate Jessica, Bradley, Luke, Nia, Daniel. Daniel gets, you know, like that hook. I agree, man. We'll talk again soon, Daniel. And Elise, I connected with her last week, I think. Appreciate you
guys. And you know what? I promise. Next content call. For everybody listening, the very first thing we're going to do, we're going to take your suggestions and we're going to write a post in front of you and we're going to teach you right away.
Yeah,
we got you.
It'll probably be next Thursday, probably from the 1 to 2 range. We'll do an hour. I did half an hour today because I just did pause right before, but we'll do an hour next week writing out this stuff. So
let's do it.
Appreciate you, man. Thank y'all. Great stuff, Kevin.
Appreciate you, dude.
Talk soon.
Bye, y'all. Have a fantastic Thursday. Wait, Wednesday? Thursday?
Friday? I'll make some placements. Let's do it. Lock up those offers.
Should I sing?